Welcome back to the Godcast with Benjamin and Shelby, where broken people are made whole. I am your host, as always, Mr. Benjamin Shelby, and it is a pleasure to see you. And like every single episode, make sure that you're following on the podcast and also on YouTube, the podcast, because you can listen to it on the go, the YouTube channel, because I post a new piece of content every single day of the week, and it's just, they really go hand in hand. So if you're going to support the channel, I do really appreciate it. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, the like button, the notification bell, all of the YouTube stuff. You know what to do, my friend. And it is so good to be back again this week. I really can't express it, how thankful I am that you guys tune in every single week. Be sure you're sharing the episode too, especially on YouTube. It would really help out a lot. I'm excited, guys, and I'm excited to get into the things that we have today. So without further ado, now that we have that out of the way, let's jump into the first segment, shall we? Blessings with Ben, and I do have something really important and really, something really to be praying about, if you guys don't mind. I had doubts about getting a house, or being able to be put in the position of getting a house for me and my fiance to live in, well, my wife at that time, you know what I mean, though. And I got a call from the loan people, and I don't, it's personal information, obviously, but the Lord is providing a way for me to be able to purchase a house, and I really am thankful for what he's done. There's no other way to put that. It's great. So that's something that has really, really been a blessing that just happened actually today. Right now, there's no listings around where we want to live, and that obviously is important, especially in our price range. So if you could please be praying, I'm earnestly praying. I know my fiance is. I know actually a lot of people that really do love us are praying. So if you could pray for that, that would be actually very helpful as well. Let me know you're praying for it too, so I can thank you. And yeah, God's going to provide. I know he will. Just like he provided my car when I needed one really, really bad. And yeah, so that's always great that God is providing that for me. There's plenty of other things to be thankful for, obviously, but this is going to be a long episode anyway. So let's jump into culture according to Christ, shall we? Now, last week we talked about one of the most difficult things for me to talk about, and that was an abortion satanic ritual. And if that really got your stomach churning, viewer discretion advised. I mean, you really can skip ahead, and I would completely understand. I'm going to be talking about the music industry, specifically the pop music industry, but I mean, it goes through almost every single type of music that you can think of. And it's just an obsession with Satan, and it really has skyrocketed in the past, I would say, since COVID. I've noticed it significantly more. Do not listen to this segment with little kids around. I don't want to expose them to these songs. This is really, really, really for mature audiences. I'm going to play segments from these songs. I'm going to show you some of the things they do in these songs. It's going to be explicit. It's going to be gross. It's going to be evil, but I want to show it to you so you can understand what's out there. Sometimes you need to look the beast in the face. If you don't agree, skip over this segment, like I said. But sometimes you really do need to understand what you're against. And there should be no sugarcoating sometimes. So I have a few, I have like a list of like 5 songs on here that I want to get to. And I could think of so, so many more. But let's just get started with they're all terrible. Let's just get started with them, shall we? Because they're all terrible, and I really just want to never talk about them again.
All right, we had a little bit of editing snafu there because I went to go edit this podcast and it's been a wild little bit, and the entire second half of it was deleted somehow. So I guess that was not what I was supposed to post. But anyway, I do have the five songs that I want to talk about, the demonic imagery and all of that stuff that I think is a real problem and I really want to expose. One of them I actually just posted a video on Wednesday. So, in no particular order, we're going to go through these. The first one is one of the most obvious ones that just released not too long ago, and that is Demons by Doja Cat. Here's a little clip of that for you. Hey, yeah. You can obviously see there's a lot of like spiritual stuff in there that I think really should be X-nayed from this in general. And there's a running theme through all of this that I really do want to point out at the end. But it is how do my demons look now that my pockets are full? And the thing is, Doja Cat, your problems or your quote unquote demons do not go away through success or, you know, through all of that stuff. And honestly, as we're going to see on the last one in this video, they're not getting as much success as they like to anymore. So that was Demons by Doja Cat. Let's just stay on the Doja Cat train here and talk about Paint the Town Red. There is clearly some satanic or, you know, pagan imagery in this video. Very clearly, there was some spiritual implications there. And she's kind of just a gross person. She's just not somebody that I think little girls should be role modeling or anybody should even be listening to for that matter. Now, here's one. Out of all of these songs on this list, there's five of them that I just came up with off the top of my head and that I wanted to talk about. This one quite possibly makes me the most upset because of what they're talking about. And you guys probably saw this last year at the Grammys. It's Unholy by Sam Smith. I'm not even gonna play a section of this song because it makes me so upset and I hate it so much. Don't look it up. Don't do anything with this song. I don't want to give this song any time in or even any space up in your mind because I hate it that much. But essentially, it's talking about a man going out and being unfaithful to his wife, coming home, and he's basically praising. He never once condemns that. He is talking about how empowering almost it is. And Sam Smith, along with Doja Cat, and along with the other two that I'm going to talk about on this list, they are trying to be edgy, and they're trying to get, oh wow, look at them, they're saying things they shouldn't. What is it? I'm Not Here to Make Friends by Sam Smith also is one that's like that. And it pains me to hear this and to see how they're trying to be edgy. They're trying to be, you know, oh yeah, well, let's see how far we can push this religious spectrum and see how much we can stick it to the Christians and then also get all of this praise from everybody else because we're being so edgy, we're being so new, we're being so, you know, we use this demonic imagery and all this stuff. He literally sang this song dressed as Satan. And I think there's no way and under any circumstance should we stand by and say that's okay. Not even a little bit. Now, this next song is a song that I just reacted to this past week, I believe on Wednesday. So if you're interested in that, this is the video right here. Go ahead and click that or up here somewhere. I don't know how it'll turn out in the video, but to get the full link to watch me react to this entire video, it was grueling and I hate it. And that song is obviously J Christ by Lil Nas X. Now, Lil Nas X, no matter what song you're listening to, it seems like there's always a demonic, you know, or overtly anti-Christian propaganda in his songs. And you know, we live in America, you can do what you want. However, there's a point where you have to realize that we as Christians know and that they decide that they don't know that you're gonna have to answer for everything you've done. The Bible says that every idle word that you said, you will have to answer for at the end of your life. And this new song, you know, a couple of years ago, I believe 2021, you know, Lil Nas Dance did a lap dance on the devil. Like, it's that kind of stuff that he likes doing, and he doesn't realize that he's gonna have to actually give accountability for what he's done. He doesn't realize that. But this new song openly talks about Jesus, and it's disgusting. And if you want to hear why I think it's disgusting and why it makes me so mad that this thing exists, go ahead and watch that video that I posted. Just it'll be on the channel, it'll be on the end of this video. Look at that video because I think that really opens up all of the problems that we see in the music industry right now, and I think it's a big, big problem. Last up here is a song that you guys probably wouldn't even assume would be demonic, and it really is not overtly demonic. I do have to say that, you know, Demons, Unholy, J. Christ, Paint the Town Red, they are overtly demonic, but I do want to point out that there are things that can be subtly demonic, and this song is called Swine by Demi Lovato. I'm going to play a little clip for it. Again, viewer discretion. If you didn't want to listen to this stuff, you should not have came on here, because I wanted to show you guys just a little bit of why we need to be aware of what, well, A, if you have children, what they're listening to, or what the world is listening to and what their view of Christianity is right now. This is a song about abortion. This is a song about sticking it to, you know, the family and the God-ordained marriage of how a man and a woman are supposed to work. It really, everything Christian has been torn down, but people will not say that this is a demonic song, but I'm going to say that it is. Here's a little clip of it. Yeah, obviously, that's a terrible thing to do. That's a terrible thing to sing about, is how much you love to have abortions, or, you know, how freeing it is to kill your babies. And listen, I think it's very clear that God wants to protect children. Pretty clearly in the Bible, that's what God wants to do. And the world is going to take what God wants and they're going to twist it. And no matter what, anything that is not godly is of the world, is of sin, is of Satan, the god of this world, little g, god of this world. So, all that to be said is that the music industry is overtly demonic. However, there are little subtleties that you need to be aware of in your songs, and that is why you need to be so careful, and why I need to be so careful on what we allow ourselves to listen to. Because there is always something behind the song you're listening to, whether it's a worship song, whether it's, you know, a country song. There's always an artist trying to get across something. Artist, I'm using that term vaguely because I do not believe that Sam Smith is an artist. He's just a gross out. However, it is not always overtly demonic stuff, and you need to be aware of what people are listening to, what they believe, what they are pushing, because everybody is pushing something, okay? And, you know, whether that is somebody pushing you and encouraging you to worship God more, or to, you know, overcome your battles that you're facing, that is good stuff. However, there is also artists who are trying to tell you that they're coming back like J. Christ and making a mockery of Jesus. Thank you, Lil Nas X. Anyway, with that out of the way, we're going to move on to the second half of what I posted. It was actually a couple weeks ago now, but I've just been trying to get everything in the podcast situated, and it's been a lot to do right now. However, we're going to turn to the second half of that, so I do hope you enjoy it, and I will be here when you are finished. This is going to be the message. Enjoy. So that is the way desired, verses 4 through 7. That is the way desired. And then verses 8 through 10, we see the way departed. We see what happens when God does not, or when we do not do what God has asked us to do. We see all these blessings in verses 4 through 7, but the way departed is this. Verse 8, but ye are departed out of the way, because ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord God of hosts. Because Israel had failed to do what God had desired, these things happened. And I do have to say that you'll see these things happening. History repeats itself if we are not following what God says to do. And these things are this. One, brothers stumbling, as we saw in verse 8. You cause many to stumble at the law, for you have corrupted the covenant of Levi. You know what that tells me? Our choices have consequences. Every choice you make, every choice I make, when you wake up, if you pray as soon as you get up, if you try to read your Bible as soon as you get up, whatever you do, the way that you react to things, people are watching. And the way that we present ourselves is simply going to affect other people. It's a nerve-wracking thought unless you have the
idea of Paul being so confident that you're going to follow God. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Do we have that confidence? So we see brothers stumbling. We see broken covenants also in verse 8. For ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord God of hosts. Again, covenants are two-sided. If you do what you promised, you must... Let me rephrase that, okay? If you want what is promised to you, you must hold up your end of the deal. If you want all of those blessings, if we want all of those blessings, if Israel wanted all of those blessings, they would have to go back. They would have to go back to the original covenant that Levi had. Covenants can be broken. Promises can be broken. And it's a terrible thing when that happens. And then 3, you are based before all. Therefore, in verse 9, I have also made you contemptible. Remember how he said the altar of the Lord was contemptible? He says, now I make you contemptible. And he says, and base before all people, according that ye have not kept my ways, but have been what? Partial. Partial in the law. We oftentimes, the reason we don't follow God, and again, this is not all cases, this is a blanket statement, so there is nuances to this, but I think a lot of it boils down to us being prideful and thinking that we know better. I think that that's what happens. So when we decide that we are not going to follow God, he says, I'm going to take your pride and I'm going to make you base. I'm going to bring you down below all other people. It's like what Pastor said earlier today. The most miserable people are Christians that are not following God or something along those lines. That is what happens. They become base before all. And a little side point is they deal treacherously with all. Because in verse 10 it says, have we not all one Father? Hath not God created us? Why then do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? And that would be fine if we stopped there. But the reason that we deal treacherously with their brother is even more interesting. Because it says that that every man hath dealt treacherously against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers. We are going to deal treacherously. We are doing the world a disservice, not only God, but a world a disservice when we are not following God, when we are perverting what he says, when we know that we carry God's name, but yet we drag it through the mud. That is a problem. That is why we're seeing all these bad things happen to, and we're seeing the church be weak. It's because we're dealing treacherously with everybody. Now, we're going to jump down to the bottom of verse, or of chapter 2 in verse 17. And actually, in between here is interesting because it's going to, I just think it's interesting, so I'm going to bring it up, is that God talks about a few more things, including how your relationship with the wife of your youth, including how the relationship with the, I'm missing my spot here, guys, hold on a second. God says a few more things, including how the relationship of the wife of your youth directly resembles the relationship with God that you have, which is interesting. The way that you treat your family, the way that you are presenting yourselves, that is an indication of how your relationship was with God. Because if you're close with God, you know, you're going to treat people around you well. The Bible says, how can any man say he loves God and hate his brother? How is that even possible? It's not. So maybe if we are struggling, maybe we should look at the way that we react to people. Maybe we should look at the way that we treat people around us. But he ends off chapter 2 with this verse in 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. You've wearied the Lord. Now, I feel, since God says, all of you that are weary, come to me, that it takes a lot to weary the Lord, right? But we do it. We weary the Lord with your words. And in the Malachi way, it says here, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied them? When ye say, and this is the answer, you wearied them, when ye say that everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them? Or where is the God of judgment? Two statements there. And of which, if you would have not shown me this passage, I would have thought these statements were two completely different things. But God compares them to the exact same thing. He says that all of you that say good is evil, or evil is good, and the Lord delights in the evil that you do, or rather the good that you do, because you're calling evil good, that is how you're wearing the Lord. And none of us in here would say that if something blatantly evil is good. I don't think anybody in here would say that. I genuinely don't. But how do we live? That's the question. I can talk the talk, guys. I know all of the words. I've been in church my entire life. But if you really want to see the way that what I believe, look at the way I'm living. And I think it's the same way here. Do we think evil is good? And do we think that God's proud of all of the evil that goes on? And then the second statement is, where is the God of judgment? Questioning God's authority. Questioning God's deity. Questioning God, if you're real, where are you? That's the way that I think that is. And maybe that's wrong, but I do believe that's the way that they're saying it. God, where is the God of judgment? It's the same thing in God's mind. You're wearying him. You want to know why? Because he's been here the entire time. He's been here, and he's been patient. And he's saying that I loved you. He starts off the letter with, I loved you, Israel. But yet we weary the Lord with our words. Now let's bring it in for a second, okay? Before we get into chapter 3. There might be some people in here who know they're wearing the Lord. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I know that there are things in my life that I get distracted by. I know there are things that I weary the Lord because I'm not doing what he says to do. I know that I can be like Israel. I know it. And when I look at all the ways that God has provided for me, it's incredible. Yet, obviously, everybody in here knows that I'm moving forward with my life, and I need a house. And you know what that does? That gets under my skin. Because I don't know. I'm uncertain. I don't like uncertainty. Where's my faith? Come on now. You've seen God do all these miraculous things. You've seen God take you out of your previous life that you had. You've seen the way that your family, the way that it's just a total wreck. There's family members I can't even see, but because they are doing such evil things, yet God has taken me out of that, put me in the place that I am, given me all of these great things, all of these things that I can't even express how thankful I am for, yet I still don't trust him. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with us, guys? You know, that is wearying to the Lord. And I can only imagine that this book is not only relatable to me. I imagine there's people in here that it's relating to. And one thing I love about the Bible, and I say this to everybody, a lot of people think that, yes, the Bible, it really just tears you down. Talk about a preachy book, am I right? That's what the Bible is. That's wrong. Every time, the whole point of the Bible and the whole point of what God's trying to convey is that there is redemption for all, for everybody. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, you have an ability to be redeemed, but it's up to you. And for every low that the Bible leaves you on, it gives you another high you can climb. For every single low in your life, there's another, if you're still living, there is another hill to climb and you'll be better than you were before. So how do we do that? And Malachi is no different. There is clearly a falling away from God, but there is a way to have a relationship reassembled. That's my point three, relationship reassembled. And we'll be in chapter 3, and I'm closing on this point. Verse 7, it says, Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. He says, even from before, when I gave Levi the covenant that I was talking about, they still walked away. That's the human nature. We walk away. All we like sheep have gone astray, am I right? But the next part should really hit us hard. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord God of hosts. It's that simple. It really is. We tend to complicate things. Now, I understand that, like, if there's addictions and stuff like that, it's difficult to get out of. I understand that. But God says, turn unto me, and I will turn unto you. There is no prerequisite to turning unto God. None. So every time that we feel like we're not seeing God's love, every time we feel like Israel in this book, he says, turn to me. That's all we need. Oh, that we would turn unto God. I wish that we would. But yet we tend to think that it's complicated. What's complicated about this? God says, even from the beginning, you have not listened to me, yet just turn unto me and I'll turn right back unto you. What an amazing God we serve. And then the next statement, but ye said, where shall we return? They're even asking where God is. Again, they have been serving God, quote unquote. They have been giving sacrifices. They've been giving partial sacrifices, so much so that they're not able to see a characteristic of God, which is love, but also they don't even know where he is. Where shall we turn unto, they say? And God's answer, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Wow. God says, you need to turn back unto me because you have robbed me. Because you're not giving what God has told us to give. Now, whether that be monetary, you know, I'm not the pastor, so I can come up here and feel free about talking about monetary things. God says that we are to give of our finances. That's what he says. And he also says we need to give of other things too. Like Pastor said earlier, that our time, our energy. These are all things that God wants. And God's saying, you robbed me because I have given you these things, and all I ask is for a little bit in return, and you're robbing me because you're not giving me what I've asked for. Now this next statement in verse 10, or verse 10, I'm right. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there are many, that there may be meat in thine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord God of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Wow. That is a promise that a newly engaged person, that's his backbone, okay? God says, try me. I feel that if I hold up my end of the deal, and God helps me, that I do believe that God is he's holy, right? he's gonna take care of us, and that's what God says. He says, only if you would turn unto me and stop living the way that you live and stop being partial in the law, then I promise you, I will give you blessings. That's what he says. In verse 11, it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, saith the Lord God of hosts. He says, not only will I bless you, but I will get rid of the devourer. Now, whether the devourer would be Satan and his devices or ourselves, we seem to devour ourselves a lot. We're a little bit cannibalistic to ourselves, right? We have problems. God says that I will rebuke that. I'll help you get out of it. Whatever sin you have, whatever problems you have, I will help you. Turn unto me and stop robbing me of what I've asked you to give me. That's what he says. And I'm going to end off on verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord God of hosts. If we do what God says, things are going to get better. Yeah, tough times come for Christians. Of course they do. That's life. But God never promised us an easy life. He promised us to have a great Savior to get us through those hard times in life. That's what he promised. And he says that all nations will call you blessed. You know what that makes me think that if all nations call them blessed, then that means that all nations see their blessings. All nations do. So I guess God would want to bless you, right? He loves you. He loves me. God wants to bless us. Not only when we're blessed, God loves seeing that, but other people will notice. Other people are like, wow, there's something about that guy. There's something about that lady. There's something about them. And God, and you can give God the glory through that. God says, I will bless you, and all nations will see it. So the 180 that we need to take from not seeing the love that God gives us and not understanding even who God is anymore, because we have, although we are living the Christian life and walking the way that we think we should walk, we go from that to simply turning and giving our whole hearts to God, we'll get all of those blessings. We don't have enough room to even hold it, God says. That's an amazing promise. I'm going to close with this statement, and then I'm going to ask Pastor to come up here, and he'll close the service as he seems fit. Although, yes, the great church destruction we see today directly correlates with the great church distraction we saw yesterday, the great church restoration of tomorrow starts with the great personal restoration of today. But there's hope, guys. I don't want to hear that there's not hope, because I'm a young guy and I want to live and I want to see God do something great through us. I want to see it. I'm passionate, yeah, but because I have a God who loves that the world being changed. He loves doing it. He's great at it too. Isn't he? I don't want to hear there's no hope, because there is hope. There is. And God says that hope is only found in me. He says we need to stop with this garbage of only giving part of our lives to God. Stop holding back. What do we have to lose? We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If we're losing something, that probably means it's bad for us. Although, yes, the great church destruction of tomorrow is directly correlates with the great church distraction of yesterday, the great church restoration of tomorrow starts with the great personal restoration of today. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor will come up, and he'll close the message as he seems fit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time that I had up here, God. I thank you that you use unworthy people like me to touch hearts, God. And I just pray that you please help me even to get a hold of this promise, God. And I just thank you for everything you are and everything you do. And I pray thee for safety as we depart today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I do think that there were some valuable things in there, and I hope that you really let that settle in, that God does want you to come back to him, and he does love you. Turn unto me, and I will turn unto you, like I just read there in that passage. I do pray that you give your heart to God again if you have been straying, and just know that we're not alone in this. We can pull through, because it's God that strengthens us. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and like always, be sure to follow on the podcast, be sure to follow on YouTube and do all that stuff. Thank you guys for your support. It really means a lot. Jamming out. Till next time.